Welcome, everyone, to the Workforce Navigator podcast. I'm Steve McDonald, your host, and today we have a very interesting topic and guest. We have on Dr. Scott Lutcher, and Scott, you are the Chief People Officer at Empower Pharmacy. You've had a very varied background, 10 years in the military, 20 plus years in HR. You actually have a master's in industrial and organizational psychology, a PhD in business psychology, which makes you very qualified to talk about our topic today, which is the science of HR. And how is it a tool for not only advocacy of employees internally, but how does it connect directly to corporate growth? So I'm going to let you maybe expand a little bit more on your background before we get started, and then we'll talk about the science of HR.
Well, great. Well, Steve, it's great to be here. Thanks for the time. Looking forward to the conversation. Yeah, I think you hit it pretty well in terms of an overview of my background. I really had a couple of careers, if you will. The first career was in the military. I spent 10 years in the Army as a military policeman, and I had a chance to go to Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm in Bosnia. It was a combination of active duty, reserves, National Guard, and really, I had a great career and enjoyed the military, but came to a crossroads there to decide, is this what I wanted to do for a career or what I wanted to do something else? So I decided inevitably to leave the military, and I went to a recruiting firm to help find me a position. And needless to say, I think they struggled with trying to translate military experience to civilian business experience. And after a series of a couple of weeks, I raised my hand and said, gosh, what do you guys do here? It seems pretty fun. People are on the phone and they're talking and people are ringing bells and things. And it was a recruiting agency. And then a week later, I became a recruiter. And that's really how I got into HR. And I spent probably 13, 14 years in more of an internal HR capacity, both as a external executive search recruiter for many years, then recruiting internally with some of the big four consulting firms, and then becoming an HR business partner with another professional services organization. And that really took me into sort of the HR path. And at that point, I decided I really wanted to get a little bit more deeper knowledge about this thing called HR. And that's when I decided to pursue a master's degree in industrial organizational psychology, which really gets at the technical science of some of the things we do in HR, and then decided to pursue my doctorate degree as well. Since then, I've been in management consulting for the sort of the second half of that career, working with a lot of big firms in the industry, Ernst & Young, Korn Ferry, some other firms. And then for the last year, I've had really the honor and privilege to serve as the Chief People Officer for Empower, where I've been able to leverage all of those experiences to help really, one, transform the human resources function here at Empower, but more importantly, elevate the importance of people and the employee and the proposition that they are and do create for the business, which, you know, we say around here that people are our business. And so we get a chance to really impact that significantly. So happy to be here today and talk about the science of HR and how that impacts people, and equally as important, how that drives enterprise growth and value. And that's really that connection between the employee experience and the customer experience.
What's really important about this is that over the last few years, some of the biggest consulting firms like the McKinsey's and the Gartner's of the world have come out and talked about how customer experience is the most important competitive advantage businesses have. And then we have always all played on and repeated that the experience for the customer is directly related to the experience that we create for the employees internally.
Absolutely.
And we've accepted that as fact because we've heard it so many times. So I'm really interested to hear your work and talk about that. On the other end of the spectrum, I've been in the startup world for a number of years. And as investors, when you go to seek investment, one of the things that you learn very quickly is they invest in people more than they actually do the business plan, because the people are so important. I think that speaks volumes for the people that are investing millions and millions of dollars in businesses. They're investing in people. So again, another proof point of what you're going to be talking about today anecdotally, but through your studies and surveys and different things and methodology, I'm really interested to hear how you're connecting all of those dots. So I'm going to turn it over to you to talk about, maybe introduce this concept of the science of HR to begin with.
Yeah. So if I think about just the employee experience, and maybe we'll start there. I think there is a narrative and it's anecdotal, and most people would at face value having a conversation say, oh, of course, employees impact a customer experience. But when you really try to ask the question, well, do they and how, it's a little bit harder to figure that out. I've spent over the course of my career a lot of time in the engagement experience kind of space from a research perspective and just purely from an interest perspective. And I think for many years, most organizations just assumed, okay, if I have high engagement, we're going to have better business results. And while there's a correlation relationship that suggests that those two things are true, it lacks a lot of predictiveness. It really lacks, is this a direct impact or not? And so whether it's Gartner or any other sort of organization, you tend to hear frequently, oh, the majority of people are disengaged and the level of engagement is like a 32 to 38%, if you will. And so if we accept that as fact, if you will, then that means there's a lot to do. And a few years back, I really dived into the literature and the research around this topic of engagement, experience, work engagement, job engagement, all these different areas. And this is where the science of HR sort of comes into play, because had I not pursued advanced degrees in IO and business psychology, I wouldn't have approached it that way. And by that, what I mean is the scientific methodology of saying, I have a research question. I wonder, does experience actually impact said outcome? And how would I go about looking at that? So when you follow the scientific methodology, that sort of took me down that path. This is while I was still running a consulting practice and everything else. And so what we've been able to do is to really ask the question around employee experience. One, can you define it? Two, could you break it down into some measurable sort of approach? And then three, could you measure it? And when we think about defining it, that's one of the sort of the core issues with just engagement or any other survey for that matter, is having a universally accepted definition. Is this true, et cetera? So stripping all that away, at its core, I started to ask people, hey, where do you work? I work here. What's your experience been like? And inevitably I would get, it's either really positive or it's not, or maybe somewhere in between. And then I would ask the next question, tell me about that. Why is it? And what I started to do is just record and write down what people told me. And what emerged over the course of a couple of years of just having this sort of conversation were these consistent elements about their experience. Things like who I work for, where I work, when I work, the resources I'm giving, tools, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These became, in essence, the elements of their experience. And what was fascinating is as I was recording this and writing it down and logging it, I thought about the customer experience. And so I started to research that. Now, what's really interesting is in the customer experience, these are similarly, you could ask a customer, what was your experience today? Net promoter score or CSAT score. Oh, it was really positive. Why was it? And they'll tell you these things. And so that's really how customer experience has evolved. And it's identified these core mini experiences or interactions, better way to think about it. And in that situation, those interactions are identified as the keys to making the buying decision. Hence, customer decides to buy or engage. If you apply that same idea to the employee, albeit it's a little bit different, but the same idea applies, which is every day, I as an employee decide to go to work and to get my effort. If I'm having a good experience, I'm probably going to do that in a better way. And it's those kind of core elements of the experience. And then I also extended to say, okay, for friends and family that, hey, you've been married. How's your marriage? Positive, neutral, negative. Tell me why. And it was the same idea. It's not about these big moments that matter, which I think is one of the kind of the concepts that's been propagated in sort of the HR space around focus on moments that matter. The concept of that idea in and of itself is unique because it's a moment. And if that moment matters at that time, does it matter over time? And so as I was talking about your work experience or customer experience or being married or in a relationship, it's all these other things, but there was a pattern there. A long-winded breakdown of how we got there was I identified that there were these 18 sort of core elements of an experience that everyone experiences. And once I was able to do that, I was able to say, okay, now I can ask the question, what's your experience overall? How are these elements impacting? And that would have been great in and of itself. But what was missing in the broader engagement literature is a direct tie to a business outcome. And I think that's where everybody's trying to get to. So I simply just asked the question, does this experience impact your performance? Yes or no, and to what degree?
Does it impact your productivity? Does it impact whether you're going to stay with the company in the next 12 months? And does it impact whether you'd refer someone to be here? And by doing that, I was able to tie it all together. So now I'm able to actually understand, here's my employee's experience overall. Is it positive? Is it negative in some degree thereof? And now I'm able to understand which of those 18 elements are impacting that the most, and which of those 18 elements impact those four outcomes. And therein lies sort of the connective thread to growth and value, because if those employees are having the optimal experience, that they're going to have an engaging experience with a customer. And so that customer is going to come into the organization and they're going to get served well, and therefore will either have a new order, a new script, something will happen, which will drive revenue, which drives growth, which drives valuation. So it's a very connected, logical, linear sort of an approach to answering that question. And that's what we've done. We actually just finished our survey last week and we're going through the results now. And I can just, even in seeing the initial results, I know to a high degree, 78 to 84%, their experience is impacting those four outcomes. And certainly now I know where to focus on some of the areas that might need to be improved to drive that experience even higher.
Amongst those 18 different experience elements,
yeah,
are there some that are consistent across organizations that are a higher priority for us as HR professionals or just leaders, team leaders in managing our teams and working with our teams, that we should know these are the priorities?
Yeah, great question. And it varies with, obviously, with our organization. That's the proverbial consulting, it depends, but I'll give it a little bit more finite to it. And in this instrument, it's a predictive model. So I can actually do some regression analysis to identify which of those 18 actually predict said outcome. But aside from that, in general, the ones that we see that have the most impact, because one of the things we also ask for people to do is to self-rate which of those 18 have the most impact in general, and then to rank them. So we get their perspective very clearly. Those five tend to fall around the same sort of cluster, if you will. One is definitely the manager or who I work for. That has a massive impact on someone's overall experience. Two, the support and resources they are given to do their job, whether that's technology, whether it's training, whether it's tools, et cetera. So what they need to do their job. Reward and recognition always has a significant impact. What's interesting, though, is to the degree of it. For example, reward in and of itself, which is more financial, whereas recognition, which is more non-financial, those two things have a really significant impact on someone's overall experience. And then benefits that they're provided. So benefits tend to be, again, in the across the 18, if you will. So who I work for, the resources I'm provided, reward and recognition, benefits, and then opportunities I'm given to, whether that's develop or promote, et cetera. They all have impact, but they vary in certain percentages and degrees. But those five tend to be the ones where we see the most impact, both predictively as well as self-rated in terms of importance.
Is it within those 18, a lot of times we talk about we have to give freedom to our teams to make decisions and feel like they're not just a cog, but their opinion is important and they could actually contribute and make a difference. Is that anywhere in the 18?
Yeah, absolutely is. The way it's phrased, it's around the amount of impact or autonomy you have to do what you have to do. And that certainly has an impact in the overall experience as well. It varies, again, by organization and culture, if you will, but that definitely has one in the impact. And so even as you're asking the question, I think you're going through the same process, which is, okay, if I think about where I've worked, these are things that are just, they come to mind because they are part of the experience and they're pretty standard across the board. So I'm not arrogant enough to sit here and say, yes, these are the 18 and this is the measure and this is the metric. I've just come up with something where it's given some really good insight and intelligence. It's been validated. It's reliable. We know it works. It measures what it's supposed to. But more importantly, as a leadership team, it's going to give us the insights and intelligence to go do something now. We are going through that process of reviewing all the data. And I'm going to be able to share with my entire organization, this is where you all said you are. This is where you all said it isn't impacting. This is what we're going to do to impact that and give back in that psychological contract that you've been heard. We're going to acknowledge and we're going to do something about it because people are the business.
So Now I'm going to ask if you could make that very direct connection, because everything you're talking about here sounds fantastic and absolutely could see that it would lead to greater engagement, longer retention, referrals, that kind of a thing. But taking that information and now connecting it to customer experience and then revenue outcomes like decisions to buy. How do we make the leap from this experience of the employee to the customer and then revenue for the organization?
Sure. Two of the outcomes that we look at are performance and productivity. We ask them to provide commentary on that, which is the closest thing we can get to how it's going to impact, whether it's revenue or whether it's cost management. So the basics of business is make stuff, sell stuff, get it out there, drive revenue, and then make sure you're managing your house accordingly so you can minimize and optimize expense and therefore creates the best profit opportunity. So when we ask people, what's impacting your performance? So how you do what you do and your productivity, which is the amount of output for which you do it, those two things have a direct connection to the customer. So if we take, for example, a customer service representative in our pharmacy, a patient or provider calls in, they get somebody on the phone. If that person's having an optimal experience and their performance in engaging that task should be better, and therefore the better that performance in engaging the task of inbound customer service with the customer is going to relate to the customer having the best experience. Therefore, they're either going to continue to work with us or buy or rescript, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a direct connection to, quote unquote, the revenue. For example, in our business, revenue is a function of a script. If we get a prescription, we fill the prescription and therefore that generates the revenue. So the goal is obviously to increase the amount of scripts that we get in, and that's vis-a-vis providers through doctors. And so when the doctors call in, are they being serviced well? Are we easy to work with? Is our processes easy? Is it quick? Is it efficient? Is it fast? Is our pricing competitive? Do we have the medicine in stock? All of those things create, back to the customer experience, their buy decision. And if they know that those elements of their experience are what's deciding, are they going to buy or not, or order from us? That could be one part of it. But if they get on the phone with somebody who's not doing well and not performing well and doesn't have a good experience, they may go somewhere else, even if all the other elements of their buy decision are there. So the impact of interacting with someone on the customer side is massive. And so therein lies a direct. I remember when I was thinking about this years ago, I had an incident. I was traveling, was at the airport. When I went to a restaurant, I'll leave the name out of it. And I went to the restaurant and I stood in front of the waiting area to be seated. And I was there for probably about 7, 8, 9 minutes. And people were walking around and doing stuff. And I was just standing there and it was really awkward. Finally, somebody came around, oh, here, have a seat, whatever. And then it took another 15 minutes for someone to come by. I left. Now, what's ironic about that whole story is that particular restaurant was an actual client I was working on as a consultant, and I was working with their HR team on this idea of the experience, because that restaurant lost my revenue because those employees, for whatever reason, didn't attend to their job well, i.e. performance. So something in their experience that was happening in that restaurant impacted whether or not they were going to serve me well. And so therein lies a direct connection. It was $15, $20, but $15, $20 times thousands of restaurant tours, or that's direct revenue and that's experience. And you play that out in all other businesses where you have direct either customer experience or interaction, or even with providers or vendors. Anyone that we're interacting with impacts the overall growth and valuation of a company.
I want to get your opinion on this. In today's marketplace, it's more competitive than ever. Most companies have, on average, between 25 and 30 competitors in the marketplace. Also, there's rapid technological innovation that's happening. So what happens here is, and this is what McKinsey's and the Gartner's talk about, is that it's much harder to compete these days on price. When you have so much competition, it's hard to compete on product with so much rapid innovation that's happening. So therefore, of the three-legged stool of product, price, and experience, That's why experience rises to the top and is the most important competitive advantage that a company can have. And is anything in your research or after all of your research, what's your opinion on if we're going to look as growth and how do we look at our go-to-market strategy and where we're going to lean in on product, price, or experience? What's your opinion on where we should be leaning in?
Yeah, it's a great question. So if we assume for conversation's sake, and let's just take any industry set, I'm going to move mine out of this conversation for a second because it's a little bit different. But let's say, for example, you're going to buy a car. That might be a good example. We all research the kind of car we want. Okay, we want a midsize, and there you have the plethora of choices. Generally speaking, those cars are going to be about the same kind of car, same kind of size, same kind of bells and whistles, generally same kind of price. And that could be a Nissan dealer or a Toyota dealer or this dealer, and you can go to all three. Now, there's a little bit of preference there, obviously, when we're talking about an automobile. But if you go to the Kia dealer, for example, and you have an amazing experience with the people you're interacting with, and then you go to the Honda dealer and it may not be as good, or you go to the Toyota dealer and it was really terrible, chances are you're probably going to lean more towards where you got the best service, best support, best experience, and then an opportunity. Now, it may not be where ultimately you buy, but I do think back to your point, if all things are equal at the price and the features, advantages, benefits of said service or product, et cetera, then what it will come down to is how do you feel interacting with this? And that's a big part of my sort of overarching research and even philosophy around management and leadership. Human beings are made up of thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. This is effect. This is cognition, this connection. These are the sort of the basics of psychology or thoughts, feelings, and behavior, and how those three interact and how one sort of drives the other and vice versa. We know for certain that effect, which is how you feel, directly impacts what you think and how you think, and more importantly, how you behave. And so all internal marketing, external marketing is really around capturing effect and feeling. Because if you feel good about what you've done, chances are you're going to engage in that activity more so than others. Hence, if you feel good as an employee because of the experience you're getting, you're going to perform and produce better. And if that is cascaded through a customer interaction, same idea. So it's capturing effect. Most people don't spend a lot of time in like cognitive mental math and like painstakingly going through decision making. And now some do for sure. But most people make decisions based on how they feel and how they feel at the time. And so it's this buildup of effect and feeling. Take the presidential election that we're currently in. The whole concept of it is really about at the time of the voter making their vote. I'm sure many people have gone through, really thought hard and looked at policy, but a lot of people make decisions based on effect and how they feel. Because the brain as a organ does not like to work. It's this concept of homeostasis. The brain would prefer not to be busy and working. And so that's the idea of cognitive activity, really working through stuff. In general, it likes to just be in a homeostasis state, which is why change is so hard. So when people talk about change management and change this and change that, at its core, it's around biology. The muscle itself of the brain prefers to be in a homeostatic state as opposed to an active state. So you put all those things together, back to sort of the core question, if you can make people feel positive, you're going to have a better outcome. And as it relates to employee experience, that's what we're really trying to drive, which is, are you feeling good about your experience? And are these elements contributing to you, or where are they contributing to you and to how much? Because we know if we can do that, those people are the differentiation. So back to your question around what's the differentiator's experience, it does come down to people. I always chuckle a little bit when I see people posting around the people side of business and that kind of terminology. It strikes me as odd because people are the business. I don't know of any business that exists out there that's successful that isn't a function of what people do, their behavior. And that's a function of how they think about what they're doing and how they feel. And feeling has a big part of it, the effective side of it.
I'm going to tell you a story from, and I want you to reflect on this and give your opinion. I was talking to a chief customer officer, and he, the previous day, had talked to one of their clients, which was a chief security officer. That chief security officer had just gone through a big review, reviewed, I think, 14 different candidates for a purchase in their tech stack and what they were doing. Every single one of them said, yeah, we cover this and this on the product. They were all relatively competitive on price. He said, all I wanted to know was, what is it going to be like to work with them after I hire them? What's the experience going to be like? And that goes back to the in day and age of rapid innovation and product and technology, and you can't be the low-cost competitor, that it leaves experience. So here's a chief security officer making multi-million dollar purchase decisions, seeming to rely exactly what I'm, how do I feel after I start working with you? What's that experience going to be like, dependent on the people that I'm going to be working with?
Yeah, this reminds me of the sort of the topic around performance management. I know it's not one that's necessarily on the docket for today, but when you think about performance and looking in, we've gone from extreme to not doing it at all. And now we're back to somewhere in the middle of that. I think the overarching belief is that it's important to evaluate performance. So when I think about performance, I've always thought about it in two perspectives, which is what you do. So I'm an accountant and I have these core tasks. I have to do those tasks. And there is a objective viewpoint of, am I doing those well or not, through a subjective evaluation, i.e. a person. But there's the what you do, and then there's the how you do it. And the how you do it is all the behaviors. We might have a super gifted accountant who just is technically exceptional and superior and can do all the things really well. But behaviorally, they're terrible to work with. They don't collaborate. They don't communicate. So on that vein, you would say that's not a high performer, or for that matter, not even just a good performer. And that speaks to the feeling part of it. This is how I feel when I work with said person. The other is true in the inverse, which is you might have someone who exhibits all the core behaviors super well, but technically they're really subpar. That experience is going to be not positive, and you're going to feel not well about it. And therefore, so it really is a combination of both things. But in the end, it does come down to how does said person or people interact and feel about working with said person. I remember when I first got into management consulting, someone had talked to me about, I said, how do you know if someone's going to be a good consultant or not? And one of the things I think about in my interview with them is, what would it be like traveling with this person? Which has nothing to do with their performance and how they do what they do. It's all around, would I like talking to this person? Would I want to have dinner with this person? Could I spend 4 days a week for months on end working with this person in a conference room? That's all about experience and sort of the feel, if you will. And certainly gets into all sorts of other things, but at its core, that's really what it's about. So I do think that experience and the affect, the feeling that creates, whether it's an employee, whether it's a customer, whether it's a partner, a provider, has a massive implication on, in the end, are we driving top line up to the right? Are we managing expenses and things down? Because then you're talking about behavior. Maybe think about it this way. If someone's not having a good experience and they're bitter and in anger or whatever, they're going to make bad decisions, which could have detrimental impact to the company. It could negatively impact, am I getting revenue, i.e. a sales rep who's not happy. It could be an accountant who's not managing and controlling the books. So there's lots of things. So experience, I think, just can't be emphasized enough. And that's well beyond engagement. I could ask someone, are you engaged or not? But it's going to be a function of all of these experiences and the experience overall. That's really where I've landed on. How can I have the most impact on my organization? Take care of my people, but take care of them because I want to know what their experience is and what's impacting it. And if we can do that well, then I can sleep better at night knowing that we're contributing. They're contributing the best they can to up to the right or managing the business below.
I know we could go on for hours. This is super fascinating.
Yeah, yeah.
But if there was, from everything that we've talked about here, if there was one takeaway that you wanted people to have that were watching or listening to this podcast, what would that be?
Well, that's a big question, Steve. I think at its core, and it goes back to a quote I think that Richard Branson had, and others have probably had it as well, this concept of take care of your people because they'll take care of your business. It's this idea that if you truly believe that people are your business, then take care of them in a way that gives them what they need to be successful. It doesn't mean that you give them everything they're asking for. And I think that's where some people get a little confused. Some leaders might think if we just ask them what they want and give them what they like, it's not about that. It's really, do your people feel like you care? Quite honestly, do you care about your people? If they feel that way and they experience things that you're doing for them that connotes to them that you do, they will go through a brick wall for you. At its core, know your people, take care of your people, and they will take care of the business because they are the business. That's how I would summarize that.
Thank you. Thank you for expanding our minds and actually giving us the data, the science behind our core beliefs that we always have known, which is that the people are the business and our success as a business, long-term sustainable success, is reliant on the people. If others have questions that we didn't cover here today for you, would it be appropriate that we gave out perhaps a link to your LinkedIn profile that they could reach out to?
Yeah, I'm happy to. I'd be happy to talk to anybody about this at all.
Scott, again, thank you so much for all of these insights. We're going to have to just listen and absorb for a little while. So thank you for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you, Steve. It was great.